Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, dear saints of God. Good afternoon and welcome to another special edition. This is not just another show. It's a special Saturday edition of Is This the Church with Sister AJ. Well, Sister AJ's right here. She's ready to go. I'm ready to go. And we've been doing a critique on this series called The Chosen. And I have some questions for Sister AJ when she comes on. But before we bring her on, listen, if you're in need of prayer, send us your prayer request at powerofprayer2018@gmail.com, powerofprayer2018@gmail.com. We promise to pray for you. And if you're interested in joining a live prayer meeting on Tuesday nights, please email me. I'll send you all the information. It's the prayer meeting of the church that I happen to pastor by the grace of the Lord. And every Tuesday night we get on the air for an hour and a half hour Bible study, and 1 hour of praying. And so if you want to join a reputable prayer meeting, let me know and I'll get the information to you. I know many of you are looking for a church, are looking for a place that you can go to the fellowship. Well, Grace Church is the place for you. So contact me. Now, just want to get right into it with Sister AJ. So let me bring her on. Sister AJ, can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Wonderful. It's good to have you today, and I'm so looking forward to this show. And we were supposed to have it on Wednesday, but you accommodated me because it was my son's birthday, and I wanted to give him the full attention on his birthday since he is a spoiled brat. Spoiled rats require that you give them full attention or else, you know, they're not happy. So he got all the loving that he needed on his birthday. So thank you for accommodating me. And
you're welcome.
I got some questions for you, and maybe you can help me out. You know, we've been doing this thing on The Chosen, right? We've been doing this critiquing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't
mm-hmm.
understand why someone like Chris Roseborough and that other guy from Wretched Radio, I don't understand why they just take a softball approach or they're just soft on The Chosen. I help me out. You know, aren't they supposed to be like apologists contending for the faith? I mean, aren't they? I just think that they're both too soft.
Yes. Now, I think Chris Roseborough did watch season one and a couple of episodes of season two when that, because that was all that was available at the time. But I don't know if he picked it apart like we're doing. But, yeah, I mean, I agree. It was a little soft, soft pedal. Todd Friel, especially his, was definitely, well, you know, there are a couple things about it, but it's okay. You know, it wasn't, you're right, it wasn't as hard-hitting as I would have expected it, especially from Roseborough.
Yeah, I mean, I was watching Roseborough today, and I'm sure I saw his critique before, but today I was, like, kind of interested in reviewing it again. And he
mm-hmm.
calls it fan fiction. He says, well, you know, it's just fan
yes.
fiction. And
yeah,
saying
sort
fan
of like the comic books and different things that aren't considered canon per se.
Right.
But, you know, somebody might have wrote another book and people still enjoy it, but it's not really considered the part of the original story, I guess, like a Batman or Superman or something like that.
Right. And I'm saying, no. You can't let that, you just can't call it fan fiction because, in my opinion, it's demon fiction. Fan fiction. First
Doctrine
of all,
of
the
de-
fans didn't.
Doctrine of Demons.
Yeah, the fans didn't write it. So how could it be fan
right.
fiction? So they didn't write it. This is Doctrines of Demons.
Mm-hmm.
To have a Jesus practicing his Sermon on the Mount and correcting himself, and then to have Matthew come back and say, you know, this opening line here in your sermon, it's going to confuse people. And he's critiquing
yeah.
Jesus and editing. What is that? What is that?
Well, those episodes weren't out when Chris did his review. I think the ones he saw from season two were like the first two, the one where they were in Samaria. Remember those?
Right, but
I
I didn't need to see season two. I didn't need to see season
mm-hmm.
two to just say it's just demon fiction from the get. Season one, I concluded it was demon fiction in season
yes.
one. It was no good in season one.
Right.
I mean, it was just, you know, it's no good. It's garbage.
Right. It's not that I needed more convincing, but I decided that maybe we'd go over as much info, much that was available in case
right.
anyone brings it up and says, well, did you even watch the whole series? And I can say, yes, I did, even that goofy Christmas special.
Right, right, right. No, it's just bad. It's just, it has no redeeming quality. Look, that the actors are human beings, yes. That they mm-hmm. are, portraying the script. They are, you know, they're saying the lines that they were handed, yes. I don't have a problem against the actors. I just have a problem with the whole script.
Mm-hmm.
All of it. It's disjointed. It's inverted. It's, you know, to think, you know, Jesus gives the parable of the Good Samaritan. Dallas Jenkins inverts it and says, no, he was a bad Samaritan.
Right.
It's like if Jesus is light, Dallas Jenkins says, no, he's darkness. What is that? It's like an alternate universe.
Yes.
Right?
You know, he definitely tries to show Jesus as a more human than divine, in my opinion.
Right, right.
He just tugs away at his divinity
making it look like
Jesus sometimes is unsure of things, or that he may not be omniscient like the Bible says, because sometimes he seems caught by surprise. And plus, this Jesus is just a terrible leader. I mean, his band of brothers here is just falling apart.
Absolutely. His mother's starving. There's no money coming in. He's a Jesus who doesn't care about Nicodemus, but will grab his bag of gold and keep moving. You take all of this video or film or whatever you call it today, digital whatever, and just dump it in the garbage. Just dump it. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And to call it just fan fiction. No. No.
Of who?
Right, right. That's like me saying, you know, Benny Hinn is a fan favorite. No, he's not a fan. No. No, he's wicked. He's a wicked man. Paula White, fan favorite? No, she's wicked. Paul Crouch, wicked dude. George Bloomer, wicked. Listen, they're called ministers of Satan. That's what they are. There's no in between. There's no in between. There's no, you know, there's no middle guy. No. Either you serve the Lord or you're a minister of Satan.
That's right.
And the fact that Dallas Jenkins is in bed with all these different groups.
Yes.
Right? I mean, I saw a video where he was fielding questions with his wife, right? There's a video
I saw that one too.
Right. Where they, so this is what he does. In one of them,
they're making fun.
Right, yeah. They're laughing and they're chucking it up, right? And he reads one of the dopey emails that he got is, why do you wear jeans with holes in them? First of all, that has nothing to do with the Chosen. So he throws that out there like, you know, they're criticizing us for any little thing. And then he doesn't talk about the critical aspects of the show. He just talks about, you know, why do you wear your hair this way? Or why don't you shave? And you don't look like a minister wearing holes in your pants. And that's nonsensical. That's so irrelevant to the show.
Right. What happens when he's directly addressing something with the show. When we watched that clip of him going over people having a problem with Mary Magdalene backsliding. And boy, was he fit to be tied.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So here's the guy. He is in partnership with, and then look at the distortion where he says, these are my Mormon brothers.
Mm-hmm.
Wait a minute. When the Mormons knock on my door, and they'll be here in April and May knocking on doors because they show up in my neighborhood, you know, in bicycles. When they knock mm-hmm. on my door, they don't look at me as a brother. They knock on my door to present to me the doctrine of the Latter-day Saints. They look at yes. me as the mission field. They don't look at me as a brother.
That's right.
Right. Those guys knocking on my door, they're not viewing me as one of them. They think I'm
lost. They're trying to convert you.
That's right. So then wait a minute. How can they be my brothers if they're knocking on my door trying to convert me, Dallas? Why
well, some,
is it that
well,
they require...
sometimes that people are looking at Mormonism as another Protestant denomination. So maybe
yeah, I mean,
Dallas is hiding behind that.
Right, right, right. But that's, listen, his daddy should have spanked him on that one. His daddy should have taken, no. What are you doing, son? You're Mormon, brother. I mean, why doesn't Todd Friel take him to the woodshed on that? Mormon brothers? No, that's unacceptable. That's unacceptable. So, yeah, I mean, we have these so-called, look, we have these so-called evangelical apologists that, I don't know. I mean, think about it. The biggest thing in the church right now, the biggest thing in the church right now is the chosen.
Mm-hmm.
Why aren't these big shots, so-called big shot, why aren't they taking it on?
Well, a lot of the feedback that I've seen or videos I've watched, there have been some, but they mainly dig into his wrongful associations, namely the Mormons, of course. I've seen some critiques on that, but, you know, not really pulling apart and peeling back the layers of the show itself, not in any detail, really. With the exception of a couple, and to be fair, maybe some of them just don't have time to do that or other priorities that they're led to do. So that's why the Lord picked us to do it, I guess.
Okay, but look, if you're Todd Friel, don't you think you would have said, let me address this again since I addressed it one time and I gave mm-hmm. like a half-baked critique, because you got to admit it's half baked.
Yeah.
Did he do that justice? Honestly, did he do it justice? And to me, he gave it like a pass.
I agree with you on that one. And the video is like 10 minutes long, so I guess it's only so much you could do with 10 minutes. But yeah, it was a softball critique. It's more like, you know, watch it if you want to, but these might be a couple things to look out for is basically all I got from it.
Right, right. Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I just, you know, there's some other guys on YouTube that are not as famous, and they're not
mm-hmm.
begging for money, because I know Chris Roseborough gets money. I know Todd Friel gets money. Because, you know, they have ways in which their people can send them money. I think that if you're getting mm-hmm. money, if you're getting some form of payment, I think you should do a better job.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Then, I mean, because there's other YouTube guys, I've seen a lot of other YouTube guys and gals, they're not begging for money, and they did a way better job.
Yes.
Than Chris Todd Friel.
They have a lot smaller program of platform than Roseborough and Wretched.
Right.
So
yeah, and they devote
a much thorough job.
A much thorough job. They devoted more time and they warned people and they told them to stay away and it's no good, and you know, all of the different connections that you know, talk about. I mean,
mm-hmm.
talk about Mary. The emphasis of Mary and Mary Magdalene, I mean, it's overkill.
Yes. It may
right?
be
I mean,
a nod
that's...
to feminism and the Catholics at the same time, because you know
sure.
all the bootlicking Dallas did when he went to the Vatican a few months
yeah, that's
back.
That's another thing. Why would you be in that snake pit? Why would you be visiting that snake pit seeking affirmation? That is a snake pit.
Yes, definitely what the Lord would call a brood of vipers.
That's it. Why would you be? My goodness, you are seeking a word of affirmation from the Antichrist, the Pope?
Mm-hmm.
Because he is the current Antichrist until the ultimate Antichrist shows up. That's a fact.
Yes.
Right?
He couldn't be more Antichrist because he takes on all the titles of the Godhead.
Exactly. Exactly. So you're going there? You're an evangelical and you're going there to, you know, to get a pat on the back? And to, you know, it just goes to show what prostitution, you know, when you're a prostitute, when you're out on the street.
You don't care what car you get into.
That's it. The John rolls up, and he says, "What's your price?" You say your price, and then he says, "Come on, I'll pay it." And that's it. You get in whatever car. You're a prostitute.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you are. If you're in bed with the Mormons, you're a prostitute. If you're in bed with the Catholic Church, you're a prostitute. If you're looking for kudos from the Jews and the Jewish people, you're a prostitute. I'm sorry. That's what you are. That's
right.
You know, that's it.
And I'm sure he still would covet a nod from Hollywood as well because of his past failure.
Absolutely. That's
so
still leading
he
him
definitely
up.
Wants Hollywood to take notice.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, no, this is the absence of Jesus' siblings. Nowhere near Mary.
Right.
You know?
Every time she turns up, she's by herself. And you know, during those times, no woman would be traveling by herself. There's just no way.
No way. No way. And so here she is. The disciples, like you said, they're like keystone disciples. They're bumping into each other. You know, it's comedy. It's comedy. It's comical.
Yeah. And the men, they seem to have here in the last few episodes, they just seem to take liberties to just ignore whenever Jesus does give them any type of orders or instruction. They just do whatever.
Right. Absolutely. Jesus
and
says
I just
to four
cannot
of them.
Imagine that happening in with the Jesus in the scripture. It doesn't happen anywhere.
Doesn't happen
where
anywhere.
Where they just did what they wanted after he gave them specific instructions.
Well, you know, if you get to see John the Baptist giving your leader a lecture, I guess, you know, you don't have to respect him.
Right.
Right? If John the Baptist gives him a good tongue lashing, and, you know, why do you need to respect him?
And he never really answers their questions. He's always cryptic, and a lot of times he's gone somewhere, and
right.
Then he gets up at 2:00 in the afternoon. You know, after a while,
listen,
they're going to be like, this guy.
This is crazy. This makes no sense.
So this is definitely a different Jesus.
Right, right, right. And I got to tell you, I've had enough after season two. I mean, I have to watch it because, again, I know that I'm going to have to give an answer someday. But I can tell you, I've had enough. I mean, I don't want to see season 8.
Me
I don't
either,
want to see
because
season
look,
3.
Look how bad it is now. So it's like going forward, it can't do anything but get worse.
Right. But you see, they're stringing the people along because it's a moneymaker. That's why they're stringing the people along.
Yes, they got to
it's
have
a long-term
that viewership.
Business. That's what it is. It's long. See, this guy is going to, he's just going to live large off this series. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
And that'll branch off into other opportunities.
Right. When the pastor says to you, when you go to a church and the pastor says he has a 20-year vision, it's time to head for the doors. Because when they say 20-year vision, it means 20 years of them enslaving you financially. That's what it means.
Or if they get up there, if they just install this pastor, and one of the first things they say when they get in the pulpit is how the church is going to be debt-free in 2 years, another reason to head for the door.
Right.
Because they're going to be turning you upside down and emptying your pocket.
That's it. So think about it. You take money from Christians. Then you put it in the hands of the Mormons. And you produce the show. And then you're in the back room. It's like the wicked pastor who brings in a guy like Brian Kahn, a false prophet. Okay, I'm bringing you in, and we're going to split the offering 50-50.
Right.
So that pastor allows the prophet to do whatever, because the more money they make that night, you know, if he says, I want everybody to give $1,000, and you got 300 people, and you're challenging, that's a quarter of $1 million. If you're able to raise it, that's a quarter of $1 million right there, over a quarter. And then you split that 50-50? So
that's a nice haul.
Exactly. And that's what Dallas is giving the Mormons access to Jesus' sheep.
Yes.
And when you give them, what do you think the Mormons are going in there for? For the money.
Right. They want the wool and maybe a couple of lamb chops every now and then. Dallas is opening the back door and allowing them to sneak in the back way.
That's it.
And Jesus called them robbers and thieves. Anybody that tries to come in another way.
There you go. See? So, this is, all the way around, any way you look at this series and the people involved in this series, this is a stick-up.
Yes,
this is, this is a financial stick-up, and at the same time, you are giving these people access to souls.
Yes.
That's it.
Jesus
That's...
is definitely going to require it of him, because his sheep being abused and taken advantage of.
Right.
You know.
Right.
I don't see how he would look at it any different with that. Just because Dallas isn't technically a pastor, he's still doing the same thing.
Absolutely. Listen, Dallas is technically Alibaba, and the Mormons are the 40 thieves.
Right.
You know,
right.
Dallas is the one who says open sesame. And then the 40 thieves, you know, they run in and they grab, you know.
They go in and loot the place.
Right. Dallas is the Trojan horse. That's what he is.
Yes.
He's the Trojan horse. You know, he's like, I remember one time I bought a goat. And my father said to me, you're not putting that goat with the rest. Now, of course, I was real young. I just had some money, and I went to I went down to where they had the livestock auction, and I bought a goat for $50, and I brought the goat home, and my father said, no, you're not putting that goat immediately with the other goats. You got to quarantine that goat for 40 days.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to put that goat aside, and you know what happened? That goat didn't last 40 days. One morning I went to go feed it, and it had already croaked.
Wow.
It came with diseases. And my father said to me,
"And it would have passed it to the other, to the
there
others.
You go.
Mixed them together."
There you go, and that's why my father says you always quarantine everything you buy at auction, because you don't know what it has. You don't know why they're selling it. And I learned a lesson. See, I learned a lesson. You better start deworming that animal, and you better start giving it its shots, and you better keep your eye on it and check the hooves and lift up the lip and check the gums, make sure that it has no gum disease, and pull the eyeballs back and look at the eyes and make sure that they're nice and pink, because if they're white, forget it. He's got the animal's ridden with parasites. He's got no blood in him. So those are all the little things that I learned later on. But my father says, "Oh no, you're not taking that goat and mixing them with." Because I was ready to put them ready to introduce them to the rest of the church members. And my father said no. He said, "Oh no, you put that one aside and you watch it for 40 days." It didn't make 40 days. To my surprise, I went out one day. I was whistling and happy, and I went outside, and it was with its four legs up in the air, dead, bloated, dead and bloated. You know?
Right.
That's how you learn. That's how you learn. And this is a sick puppy, this show. That's what this is.
Right. And a lot of churches are inviting it into the fold. I mean, I don't know how many comments I've read in under the videos or on the merchandise page when people buy those books and stuff, and they'll write a review and they'll say, "Yeah, you know, my church is doing the showing the chosen, and we're doing the Bible study, and I'm gonna buy these books and use them in our small group Bible studies at home." And so the disease goat is being introduced to the rest of the people.
That's it. I'll tell you a story. Last Tuesday, I met with one of the pastors in the town that I'm pastoring at now. He reached out to somebody, and that person said, "Hey, this pastor wants to meet you." So I did the cordial thing. I met with the pastor. So afterwards, he said to me, "I want to take you to my church." So I drove up to his church, and it so happens that the church building, behind the church building, is where he lives. So he says, "Come on over and meet my wife." So I go over and I meet his wife, and he brings me into the living room. And in the living room, they have all this chosen stuff. It was jam-packed with chosen stuff. And I said, "Okay, now I know what I'm dealing with."
Okay.
Right? So, I mean, he's got, you know, I mean, his whole living room was the chosen.
Wow.
And I said, "Wow." I said, you know, so then I went back and I spoke to that brother, and he said, "Oh, yeah, he's into that big time." I said, "Well, you know how I feel about it." He said, "Yeah, we know how you feel about it." I said, "Okay." But the guy's into it big time, big time. Everywhere he goes, he promotes it. So that's it. That's what you have, right? And I don't see how you can be promoting that show. I just don't see how. I don't get it.
Maybe they just decide, "Oh, well, it's good entertainment, you know, which is hard to find for Christians. You know, there's no cussing, no, you know, illicit sin being shown and all that stuff." So maybe they just overlook the fact that it's promoting a different gospel and a different Jesus. And even, let's say, the pastor and his family may not be as susceptible or vulnerable to false doctrine as, say, somebody else, although in my mind anybody can be fooled. But let's say he's okay as far as the theology. He's not going to be affected that way. There's somebody around that he has influence over, who respects him, maybe at his church or wherever, that is vulnerable.
Yeah, the thing is, you see, whatever the shepherd does, he does for the sheep. See, the thing about shepherding is, shepherding, you don't do stuff for you. You whatever mm-hmm. You do for the sheep. That's shepherding.
Right.
See, that's shepherding. So when Joshua said, you guys are going to have to make a decision, but as for me and my house, we shall serve the
you
Lord.
Serve
so it starts
the Lord,
with you.
The Lord.
Right, right. It starts with you and your home, right, having some convictions and some doctrines. And then as a pastor, that extends to your church family. So this mm-hmm. is the way I would put it. If I would not introduce my mother-in-law to Benny Hinn, if I would say Benny Hinn must be off limits to my mother-in-law who lived in my house, then he's got to be off limits to every other member in my church.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
If I'm not gonna let this in my house, why would I make you vulnerable?
Yeah,
if it's
but
no
from
good
what
for,
you're
if
saying,
no,
if the preacher is letting it in his house with buying the Jesus junk and, you know, look, I'm sure he's watching it.
Right. Right. So he can't even discern that it's no good for his family. He can't, because remember, I mean, Noah, the Bible says that Noah, to the saving of his household. That's the
right.
First family you got to make sure is saved. So if this is rampant in your house, if this junk is everywhere in your house, my goodness, I feel bad for the flock.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's just sad. It's like I said, I mean, whatever's no good for me is no good for the church. Now, again, I'm not talking about Super Bowl, right? I'm not talking about, all right, you want to watch the Super Bowl? There's no, we're not even going to go there because that's a non-starter. Whatever you – listen,
mm-hmm.
you like pistachio ice cream and I like vanilla chocolate chip, knock yourself out with all
right.
the pistachio that you want. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about doctrine. We're talking about Jesus. This stinking Jesus is no good for my wife and my kids. And if it's no good for my wife, why would I let him come to your wife and kids? I shouldn't be allowing
right.
it. If it's no good for me, I should be encouraging
because,
you to turn away from it.
Because people are using it to share Christ. A witnessing tool. People are telling folks that are reaching out to Jesus to watch The Chosen. And when they do that, they get a different Jesus.
Right. See, he's trying to make Jesus more human. By that he means he's trying to make Jesus more appealing. But when you read
yes.
the Gospels, Jesus was turning people off.
Yep, a bunch of followers said this is a hard saying, and they turned from following him for good. I mean, because
there you
was,
go.
He was saying
there,
how they had to give up everything to follow him. It's like, we don't want to do
right.
that. See you.
Right. And did he run after them? Did he try to be more sympathetic? Did he say, well, you know, I was kind of hard. Let me. No. This is
mm-hmm.
me. He said to his disciples, if you don't deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me, you're not worthy of me. That's it.
Right.
Cross?
Mm-hmm.
What? A cross? That's the gospel. You want to be my – you got to take up a cross. This guy is trying to make Jesus cool, hip. This is like a Fonzie Jesus, you know, like in Happy Days.
Yes.
No, that's not – no,
wise
no, no.
Wisecracking.
Yeah, he doesn't need to be hip. He doesn't need to be cool. No, no, no. I don't need that. I need the Jesus of Scripture. So that's why, you know, and he's disingenuous because he says, you know, the show is not about Jesus. But then he turns around and says, you know, this Jesus, he's the Jesus of the Bible.
He's
Wait
more
a minute.
Authentic.
He's not the Jesus.
That's his
yeah.
favorite word, authentic. Well, so
right.
what are you
and,
saying? The one in the Bible is not authentic?
Right. And, you know, you played the interview where he said that that Jesus is not appealing. He's, you know,
mm-hmm.
the other Jesus and the other stories and the other portrayals in the movies, he really didn't draw anybody. Well, I can tell you, every time those movies came around during the Passion Week, everybody in my neighborhood was watching them. They were watching King of Kings and The Greatest Story Ever Told. Everybody was in front of the TV watching that.
Mm-hmm.
So when he says they're not appealing, oh, they were appealing. They were appealing. So he says they're boring. Boring. Jesus is boring.
Jesus was too serious and stoic.
Yeah, no. No, see, so he's trying to make Jesus hip. Jesus, you know, a cool Jesus, you know, a bum Jesus, you know, a bum. Sleeping to 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
Passes gas to make the children laugh like my daddy or granddaddy used to do.
Exactly. Boy, my grandmother used to tell my grandfather off when he used to do that. You know? Look at the example you're setting before these kids. Look, what are you doing? What are you doing? Stop
you,
that.
You so ill-mannered. That's what my
That's
mama
it.
Used to say.
That's it. No.
Act like you got some
giggle.
Home training.
That's it. No. That's not, you know, no, this is just, it's unredeemable. So, all right.
But,
we're
yeah,
set to go
but
here.
We started the episode 7 from season 2 called The Reckoning, and it's a train wreck from the very beginning. Because among other things, it's showing Jesus being picked up and arrested and questioned by the Romans. And we
right.
know that that didn't happen until time for his crucifixion. So, this is already horrible.
Right.
The Romans
Very
weren't
horrible.
Even thinking about Jesus, you know, till the Pharisees came to them about him, which was much, much later.
Right. I'm sorry about that noise in the background. Okay, so now here I am. I'm at the website, or I'm at the link that you sent me. All right, now just navigate me through this because I'm quite, you know, I'm not
okay.
Jenkins savvy.
Okay, so at the top of the page where is you see links, one of them will say watch.
Okay. Yep. Clicked on that.
And down, if you scroll down, you'll see a tab called Episodes. It should be a line under there, and it's a
mm-hmm.
drop-down menu.
Okay, so we're going to Season 2?
Yes.
Okay,
and then
we're going.
Then Episode 7, The Reckoning. And we,
right.
When you get there, I'll tell you where we left off last week.
Okay, so where did we leave off?
We left off at the 27:15 mark last week, so if you wanted to toggle that, because this is just
mm-hmm.
kind of around the time when they take Jesus away and the other disciples are freaking out. The women are more calm and logical than they are, by the way, and then they disobey
right.
Jesus and go looking for him anyway. So wherever
mm-hmm.
you want to start it in that is up to you.
All right. I started at the 26-minute mark. This is where we go back
okay.
just a little bit.
Okay.
Jesus. who on earth can claim authority to forgive sin?
The kind of person that can tell a paralyzed man to stand and the miracle happens in front of thousands of witnesses.
Could be witchcraft or sorcery.
Witches and sorcerers, they require payment for their service.
And he gave freely.
But why is he in hiding?
We don't know.
He told the leper on the road to keep the healing a secret.
Then why are you telling people?
He gave us no such order to remain silent. I believe that he will make himself more known soon. I can sense it in my spirit, and you. You were there. In Capernaum.
Talk to you. This man can attest he was a witness.
Yes.
Where is he?
You know this Jesus of Nazareth.
Is he here at the top of that?
Come with me. Both of you. You must stop drawing attention to Jesus.
How can we not speak about what we have seen? How can you remain silent?
The Romans?
Oh, no.
We'll tell you all about it. Why don't we go somewhere a little more private?
Hey, where are you going?
Did he resist?
No, Dominus.
And his followers?
Peaceful. And compliant.
Leave us. Jesus of Nazareth. We finally meet.
Here I am.
I thought you'd be sort of taller,
crazier looking.
Wild hair and animal skins.
Glad I could disappoint you.
The first story I ever heard about you, I didn't believe it.
That's usually how it goes.
It wasn't about religion or preaching or God. It was about fish.
Ah, another common theme.
It was an impossibly huge catch, Atticus. It settled the largest debt for Hearn's ledger. Did you meet Atticus?
He's Cohortes Urbanae.
They're like Caesar's personal detectives, mostly in Rome, but they go wherever. He's especially interested in you. Have you ever visited the Far East, Jesus?
I have received visitors from there, but never been there myself.
They eat their fish raw. Peel off the scales, cut off the heads and tails, and take a bite.
It's quite something.
They eat the flesh and spit out the bones.
Of course.
If Simon had not settled his debt, that could have resulted in my demotion. That was flesh. You create a public disruption that results in damage to property, a stampede, and a blight on my personal reputation. Bones. You seduce the single most brilliant and effective tax collector in the entire Upper Galilee. Also, bones. And now, the most tenured Cohortes Urbanae in the history of the Roman Empire tells me he personally witnessed you disarm a zealot Sicarii. Well, that's flesh. That's flesh.
Sorry to have caused so much confusion for you over flesh and bone.
Confusion? No. No. If your race weren't so repugnant and odious, I'd offer you a job.
I cannot take that as a compliment.
Jesus, this whole thing is very simple. You seem to be splitting your time between creating headaches for Rome and victories we cannot achieve ourselves.
That's a little reductive.
You've doubled your following since leaving Capernaum. Then again, you returned a violent man who had been terrorizing Jericho to his senses.
But word of your miracles, or whatever, has spread all through Syria. And they start coming over here. Do you see my problem? I don't know whether to eat you or spit you out. Stick to the fish metaphor. But we're probably past that now. I'm saying I don't know what to make of you.
That's going to be a lot of people's problem with me.
No more bones, Jesus. Follow me. No more draining my talent pool, creating spectacles, crowds. No more meddling.
I cannot promise any of these things.
Then I cannot promise you won't stop breathing.
Well, it sounds like we're clear on what we can and cannot promise.
I honestly... Oh, Jesus of Nazareth, I like you. We're on the same team. Just don't make me kill you.
I won't make you do anything. But my father, on the other hand...
I don't know what that means, but let's leave on a high note. I think we have an understanding here. You're free to go. Oh, sorry about your cousin, by the way. Marching himself into Herod's court and moralizing not a very wise or brave thing to do.
He knew what he was getting himself into.
Do you know what you're getting yourself into?
It was a privilege to speak with you today, Quintus.
Nothing about him concerns you, huh?
If it did, I wouldn't have let him go. It'd be a nice diversion for the people for a while.
Okay, so... The nitpicking begins.
Yes, let's get ready to rumble.
Yes, none of this ever happened, so you might as well take the film and throw it in the garbage.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
The lady, just the reminder that was talking, you probably remember her from the first season where she's... I guess claim they had some commonality with Jesus because Jesus spent some time in Egypt. She was there and, you know, she witnessed him heal the leper. And then later Dallas's version of the healing of the paralytic, the man that was let down on the bed in front of Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
She was the ringleader on that, which we know there, her and Mary Magdalene. But we know in the Gospels that it was four men, his friends apparently, that did that. There were no women orchestrating and coordinating. And so that's
right.
Her now out witnessing and talking about what she saw with Jesus. And then she runs up, Andrew and Philip go up to her and tell her to stop talking about Jesus because he's been arrested and the Romans are noticing him and they're worried about that. So that was
mm-hmm.
that first little piece that you picked up at, that that's where she's
right.
from. And according to Dallas, she's going to be a new member of the team here shortly. He'll be showing her from going forward into the next season more, I guess.
Sure. He's got to have an African-American character that will draw in African-Americans.
Yeah, you think that's what he's after?
Sure, absolutely. Sure. Listen, you know, think about this. We have an autistic child in our family, right?
Yeah.
And autism is exploding in our population. It's exploding,
mm-hmm.
right? So how is it that you have an autistic Matthew? Is it coincidence? No. He's catering.
Dallas has a child with autism too, I think. I saw one of those video clips, so I think he's putting a little of his life in there, knowing it will appeal to a lot of people.
Sure. Absolutely. It's a draw. See? Look, pretty soon I'll have a midget in there. you know, he'll have a retard in there. He's just going to, you know, he's just going to have a superhero for everybody.
Right.
You know, that's what he's going to do. Because, you know, this is my favorite character, Matthew. Matthew's my, you know, look, he's just appealing to different groups.
Yeah, a lot of people like Matthew.
Sure they do. Absolutely. Absolutely. And, yeah, a lot of people used to like Carlton Pearson when Oral Roberts introduced him as his black son. Right? Do you think, listen, does anybody think that that was a coincidence, that he just happened to like Carlton Pearson? You think he really, listen, he said that's my black son because he wanted black cash.
Right. He wanted that inroad to the black church, and Carlton was definitely appealing to that sector.
Absolutely. He was the open door.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, Jimmy Swaggart's kicking himself that he never thought of having a black son. He's kicking himself because it would have given him access. You know, listen, you look at Jim Baker, okay? Jim Baker goes on a show. He says, these are my brown kids. Do you think that's an accident?
No, it's not.
Not an accident. It's not an Mondo. You think Mondo being his sidekick is an accident? That's no accident. It's the largest growing population in America. He wants that cash.
Right.
He wants that money. They don't do nothing here is by accident. Nothing. These people, they look. You did a show, right, on Joel Osteen and how he has this media consulting firm, and they tell him what not to say, what to say, what to do, who to target. He monitors.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, he's looking at that report like it was, it's an oracle, like it's prophetic. And he doesn't deviate from that stuff. Why? The cash. It's the cash.
That's right.
That's why they do it. See? That's why they do it. And so Dallas, he wants black people to watch it. He wants brown people to watch it. He wants autistic people to watch it. He's looking for everybody. He's looking for drunks and womanizers and adulterers to watch it because, you know, Peter was a drunk. He was an adulterer. He, you know, so that's it.
A UFC fighter.
Yeah, sure.
You know,
sure.
A tough guy. He wants that, you know.
Sure.
But the women, he's got Mary Magdalene and her problems, and a lot of people identify with that. And Mary, the
Look
mother of Jesus, from a mother perspective.
Remember when he was asking one young lady, what did you love about that? And she was, I was in tears. Oh, I was it spoke to me. Listen, more tear-jerking episodes are coming. More. Why?
Yeah.
It's a draw. See, the Jesus of the Bible is just too boring. He doesn't make anybody cry.
According to Dallas,
right?
That's it.
That's it. That's
no,
it.
You can't
so
identify with him, especially not as God. So Dallas decides to focus on the human side because we can relate to that.
Right.
But Jesus'
right.
humanity was much different than ours.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right. So let's see what else he's got up his sleeve here. Let's see what else.
What are you all doing here? We were hearing stories about the man from Nazareth.
Yes, from the Ethiopian woman and the man who claimed to have been
here. Where have they gone?
They all disappeared with the curly head.
They knew they were going to be exposed.
In what direction?
Beyond those colonies.
Hurry.
Brother! Wait! Are you looking for a man who performs healings on Sabbath?
Yes. Who are you?
Has he invoked the title Son of Man from the prophet Daniel?
You have witnessed
it? How did you know?
Is he here?
We are from Wadi Kelt.
Where? Why haven't you found the fort?
We did. We are a small town. He healed on Sabbath in our synagogue. And he got even worse from there.
And there are women among his followers. 3, to be precise.
Tell us everything.
Lord of the Sabbath, Son of Man, are religious scandals. No importance to Rome.
We don't know why he was arrested. Rome may feel threatened. That's where it spreads. I don't know. You can't keep doing this. Not now.
I cannot keep what I know.
Don't you understand what I'm explaining?
The child.
It's dangerous.
More than you know. Don't be alarmed. My name is Yusuf.
You're a Pharisee. From Capernaum.
I spoke harshly to you at the house of Matthew.
Don't worry about it.
I'm not. You're being sought for questioning.
For what?
Testimony about Jesus of Nazareth.
I told you.
One of Nicodemus' former students named Shmuel has come in search of you. He will twist your testimony to make an argument about false prophecy.
False?
I personally do not care about your convictions, and your testimony is worthless. What Shmuel wants is information about another healing and Jesus' background.
We both grew up in Egypt.
That's even worse. Andrew, get her out of here.
I don't trust you. Why are you helping?
That's my business. But so that you'll do as I ask. I believe my rabbi Nicodemus saw something remarkable in your master. Shmuel is threatened by what he can't comprehend. Worse, he's ambitious. Shmuel does not honor Nicodemus' teaching. You are the paralytic man Jesus healed.
Yes.
Both of you must leave this place.
You should go with Andrew.
What will you do?
I'll lay low. Disappear until things go quiet.
What if things don't go quiet?
I hope they don't. But it's a good idea we separate for now. Take her with you.
I don't know if...
I do want to follow him.
Do we talk to him?
Oh, now.
He's not here. Who are you? Okay, then. Fill me in on the road.
So what did you think about that?
Well, as you have been so consistently saying, another wasted bunch of film. Yeah, that was Andrew and them arguing about her not being so vocal about Jesus because the authorities are after him, but which we know that didn't happen. The Pharisees conspiring to try to get more information about Jesus. So we had that, the rabbi from the synagogue caught up with Shmuel and his other henchmen. But
right.
As we know, none of this happened. All of it is made up.
Yep. All of it is made up. And of course, I would challenge anyone to look up even the name Shmuel in your Bible, and you won't find it.
I haven't seen it either. And what about this thing of with the Ethiopian lady saying that both she and Jesus grew up in Egypt? Because Jesus said that to her when he first met. Because he spoke to her in Egyptian and something else, but did Jesus actually grow up in Egypt, or did they just hide out there for a while?
They just hid there for a while until Herod was dead. Once he was dead, mm-hmm. the angel said, come back, Joseph. Right? I mean, If anything, maybe a year, if anything. And he was an infant.
Right.
right? So how, I mean, how did he grow up there, you know? If 1 year of your life is not growing up there.
No, it's not.
If I was to say to people, you know, I grew up in the Ukraine, and all I was there, all my passport shows that I was there for 2 weeks. How did I grow up there? So you know what I'm saying? I mean, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So no, this is again. And here's the other thing: when she says we both grew up there, the indication is that they were childhood playmates.
You can,
you know,
get
when
that
someone
idea.
Says,
yeah.
Yeah, you could, you know, when you say, oh, you know, he and I, you know, if I say to somebody in the church, you know, my wife and I grew up, you know, down in the city. Well, yeah, that's true. She grew up in the Bronx. I grew up in Brooklyn. We did grow up in the city, but I didn't know her. She didn't know me.
Right.
So,
exactly.
You know, but when you say it that way, we both grew up in the city. Oh, you knew each other. You know, you grew up together. No, that's not
it. It's subtly implied unless the person gives details to say,
that's
you
it.
Know, like, I don't know if you know the basketball player Vince Carter.
Right. Yeah,
he
Vince Carter
played
he
back
play
in
for the Nets. He played for the Brooklyn Nets. Yeah.
Well, I could say we grew up in the same hometown and went to the same high school, but I was several years older than him, which means
okay.
We did not really know each other or grow up together, but we just happened to be from the same city.
Right.
So, but if I just left it as, oh, yeah, we went to the same high school, what would you think?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that you were in the same class or you know, in the same year.
Right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's misleading and,
very
and
misleading.
Giving different false information about Jesus and even
right.
his what happened in Egypt.
Mhm. Sure. And again, it's that connection. Jesus and the black chick are tight. You know, we're tight, man. We hang together.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's not the case, you know.
Right.
So, again, he is trying to build a core audience that contains people from every demographic. Not just
yeah.
religious backgrounds, but different demographics. Like I said, I wouldn't be surprised if he has a midget, you know, because midgets need to be saved too, you know. They're little
right.
people, but, you know, they need to be saved.
Well, he's still got a bunch of seasons coming up, so you better know.
Right. Okay, here's more.
Teacher, are you hurt? What happened?
Well, I suppose I should not be surprised that you would spot me. Haima.
Oh, Rabbi, are you safe?
Did anyone follow you? Yes, I'm safe. And they just wanted to talk.
I'm very happy.
I'm glad, Matthew.
Just talk?
Quintus wanted to talk, yes. But the Romans, they don't find me much of a threat, which is fine.
Hopefully that'll change soon.
So, what were you doing out here?
Praying, John. Remember, there's a big event to prepare for.
Rabbi, with all due respect, you couldn't have told us that you were back first. You were grabbed by Roman soldiers with weapons. We were all worried sick.
Did I not tell you that I would be back and to keep planning? going to have to learn how to do this, regardless of what's happening, good or bad. Things are only going to get more difficult. You can't just shut down when you're fearful. And what are you going to do when I'm no longer here?
Yes, we are still figuring this out.
Yes, but we can do better. We will do better.
Rabbi, Philip said the baptizer gave his followers a prayer in addition to the daily traditional prayers. Perhaps you could do the same.
Yes, I'd like to learn more about what you're saying when you're out alone.
Now you're behaving like true students. This is what I like to see. And prayer is the first step in getting the mind and the heart right. It's why you see me go to it so often.
So teach us to pray like you do. Please.
He says in this episode, now you're acting like students. Well, I would say to him, now you're acting like a teacher.
Right. It's like he's just been leaving them to stumble and figure things out for themselves, but then scolds them when they're panicking. Well, that's
right.
What happens when people are confused and their leader is not guiding them to do. Jesus
sure.
didn't expect the Jesus in the Bible didn't seem to expect his disciples to just pick everything up through osmosis or something. He taught them pretty much from day one.
And you see, when, like you said, he sat down with them. When he taught something, he pulled them aside. He says, okay, let me explain to you what I said to the crowd. Let me give you the real meaning, the spiritual meaning,
mm-hmm.
the in-depth understanding. And he was kind of, this is the first time I hear this, Jesus saying, hey, finally you're acting like students. Well, finally you're acting like a teacher. Because
yes.
What has he taught them to this point? Nothing.
No.
He calls them, and they're following him, and he disappears. They don't know what he's doing. They don't know where he's at, And wow, what a scene.
Yeah.
Okay.
When we pray, we want to be sure to first start with acknowledging our Father in heaven and his greatness. So you can say, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. And we always want to be sure to do God's will and not our own. So we say, Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. And just as we are. I don't want you to wake the others. Nothing is wrong.
Why did you wake me up and not the others?
I've been forming fragments of teaching in my mind for some months now in preparation for the sermon. I'm ready to organize them.
I'll get my writing material. You've just returned from detention. Will these teachings make things worse?
I'm here to make things better, not worse, Matthew.
What I mean, for all of us who love you.
No promises. Let's go.
It must be tonight.
The time has come.
So Jesus is going to have Matthew help him organize.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Wow.
And you notice that with the Lord's Prayer thing, that he only showed a little small part of it. Plus, he didn't talk about what the other parts that Jesus taught them and what he said to them about prayer prior to.
Yeah, I mean, it just he gives you all this stuff about being in Egypt. He gives you the whole shebang there. He gives you the whole
mm-hmm.
story. And then whatever's in the Bible, he just, it just, you hear the volume going down and then, you know, nothing said.
He just glosses over a little snippet that's actually,
that's
you can actually open the Bible and see it there. He just glosses over those parts. Because
right.
it's like his story and the way he wants to tell it is more important.
It's incredible. He probably feels that the Lord's Prayer is boring. You know, because it's said over. It's just boring. So let's just omit it. Let's
right.
Just, you know. Yeah. Yeah. Wow.
Hey, it's a whole lot in that prayer. One of the
That's
first
it.
Ones I learned.
Yep, it's so meaty and so relevant and so
mm-hmm.
useful. And, you know, boom, think about it. John's prayer is not recorded, but Jesus
no.
is. So why not give some time to, you know, instead of doing a whole scene there with a non-existing Quintus, telling Jesus about
yeah.
fishes and bones, why not take that time to teach on the Lord? Because, you know, finally you're acting like students. Well, show a lesson.
So, yes, have him act like a teacher for once.
Right, exactly. Rather than, well, oh, let's wait. Maybe somebody in the future will come and explain it to us all. No, that's why you came.
And then there's something that I don't get about this thing with Matthew helping him, because in the Bible, Matthew was not really a part of the circle within the circle. You had the 12, of course, others around the 12. You know, he had a group there, but then he had the 12, and then he had the three other guys, and it was Peter, James, and John, not Matthew. So what is
right.
this thing with Matthew helping him? I don't get that.
Well, again, I suspect that he's just trying to this is me now. I could be completely off. I think that he gets emails, right? Like
mm-hmm.
when I saw the interview with him and his wife, they were going over the complaints or the things that people were saying. I believe that he gets a lot of emails and he says, "We love Matthew."
Oh, yeah.
So this
a lot
is why,
of people do love him.
Right. So this is why I believe he tries to make him prominent. You know, and the same thing, people have said, "Where's that black girl? We like that black girl. We like her spunk." So now he's writing her more into, you know, and going to make her
right.
more prominent. I just feel that he's just going with the emails, with the flow. And, you know, if they like Black Widow, he's going to give them more Black Widow than he does the Incredible Hulk. That's you know, that's just me. That's, you know, and I could be wrong. But
you're probably pretty close, you know. It's about marketing and sales and stuff too. You got to keep this thing going, the money coming in. So you got to
right.
watch the trends and see the characters that people talk about and who they relate to. It's Mary Magdalene, Matthew, to
right.
a lesser degree, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and I guess maybe this Ethiopian character.
Right, right.
The black
right.
female is probably going to be next.
Right. And he does devote a lot of time to Mary. Mary, his mother's a big pull
mm-hmm.
because, you know, there's a lot of women in the church, boy, a lot of women who raise their children, good moms,
mm-hmm.
you know, devoted Christians. So he wants that angle. He wants the young Mary Magdalene's in the church. He wants the young black women in the church, you know. And I got to tell you, none of those disciples are appealing. Peter's not appealing. James, John, Andrew, none of those guys are appealing. None of them.
No. Not
none
not really.
No. The only one who's quirky and is, you know, is like intriguing to watch is Matthew. That's the only one. The rest of them, they're like, he has not developed their character as far as giving them, you know, the Bible time that they appear in the scripture. And, you know, he hasn't devoted, you know. And what he has devoted about Peter has not connected, because everybody knows that Peter was not a drunkard. They know he wasn't a womanizer. They know that he wasn't an MAA fighter. None of that appeals.
They know
you
he
know,
wasn't
that,
working with the Romans to
there you go.
Settle his tax there, debt.
Right. So all of that fell flat. So that's why he turned, you know, as the wind turns and as the wind blows, you know, that's what he goes with at the time. And then later on, right, he'll try to redeem Peter and, you know, recast the, you know, he can't recast the character, but he'll try to rehabilitate the character and kind of make him more appealing, because he bombed with him. He bombed with James and John. He just bombed. That whole inner circle, that Peter, James, and John, that is so non-existent.
Right.
You know, none of that, you know, that inner circle stuff, none of that, which the Gospels highlight, none of that is here. Mary Magdalene, right. Mary Magdalene's more in the inner circle than Peter, James, or John.
Yes. Mary and Matthew looks like.
Exactly. So, just horrible. All right, so I brought it over to episode 8, correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right. And what you can do, unless you just want to listen to Dallas bloviating at the beginning of this, you can move it to the 237 mark.
237. Maybe we should hear him bloviate. Why don't we just give him 2 minutes to see if that's
okay.
Let's just see what he's. I'm curious to see what he's got to say for 2 minutes.
Okay.
Episode 7 dozens of times, and the Nicodemus and Matthew scenes get me every time. I especially love the music from our incredible composers, Dan and Matt. In just a moment, I hope you'll check out episode 8 and see the aftermath of what just happened. I've got something important to share with you at the end of episode 8, so please check that out. But I first wanted to briefly explain this hoodie I'm wearing and the line that it's based on from the end of episode 7. See, we believe that like the opening credits, where we show you 13 teal fish going against the current, Get Used to Different is not only something that illustrated Jesus' entire ministry, it's our model for this whole show. The way it was financed is different, with season 1 being the highest crowdfunded media project of all time. The content itself is different, with the first ever multi-season show about Jesus. The way it's distributed is different, as we're the first show with our own app that allows you to watch the show completely free with no subscription. And of course, how we're able to produce future episodes and seasons is different, where we rely on our partnership with you. Now, you're under no obligation to do anything more than watch the show. If you don't feel led to partner with us, or if you can't afford to pay it forward, please don't. The reason people pay it forward is so you can enjoy the show free. But if you do feel led, not only does a large chunk of it go directly to financing future episodes and seasons, but you'll also receive thank you notes from all over the world right here in the app. I know when I paid it forward, it was so cool to hear from people whose lives were directly impacted from being able to watch this show free. We also use income from Pay It Forwards to translate the show into multiple languages. So click on the audio and subtitles to see how many languages were already translated in. And our goal is for The Chosen to be viewed in over 100 languages. The season 1 finale is pretty epic, so please check it out now, and I'll see you right afterward. Thank you for partnering with us.
Did he just say the season 1 finale? I think
he
misspoke.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, I think he misspoke.
Yeah, maybe so. I didn't get that either. But
he's
sitting there begging.
He's sitting there. And then when you look at the app in the video, you can start out at 29, then it goes to 49, then to 119, or 99, then 119. And there's even $4.99 you can pay.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so they're raking in the bucks. Oh, yeah.
Right.
Okay. is
so
more.
In this episode,
yeah.
You're getting ready to finally see another disciple come on the scene.
Really?
Yeah.
Who's that? Huckleberry Hound? Is Huckleberry Hound going to join? Or is it Popeye? Who's going to join now? Is it Woody Woodpecker? My goodness. Okay. So you said take it up to two what? 2 minutes or what?
37.
2:37. Okay. Yeah, this is where we can avoid the little song.
Well, this is just kind of a prequel, so you're going to fast forward through the song, too.
Okay.
After this part.
All right.
This is the spot, my sons.
Wait a minute, we've already seen this. Why am I here? Okay.
Which part is this?
Yeah, that was...
It's about three guys in the field, in an open field is where you
It went back to season one. Okay, so season two. Yeah, okay, Beyond Mountains is what you want me to...
Yes.
Beyond
Mountains.
Okay, that's it.
You are about to watch the season two finale.
Okay.
I can't thank you enough.
Oh, what we heard was season one finale. Okay. I don't know why I jumped over there, because I was in the right spot. Okay, we can't hear him bloviate again. One bloviation per broadcast is enough.
It's not different than what you heard.
Okay. All right.
Talent, and you can keep the Western Ridge for whatever it is you love so much about it.
It's a beautiful view of the sunrise.
Well, you can't eat a sunrise.
Believe me, I know. What is your lineage?
We are here to talk price, not family history.
This is about my family. Your tribe.
Simeon?
These acres have been under the tribe of Reuben for 40 generations. Not about to surrender it to the little brother.
We can talk ancient birth order all you want, but it won't put a meal on your family's table.
55 talents.
45. We'll send a team of servants to help you move.
What is it that you want from this land? All rocks. Barely anything grows here.
That's right. But things that do grow, what happens to them?
All that grow?
Eventually.
They die.
We're here to cut tombs into these rocks. For the middle class.
All the way out here.
Only the wealthy can afford tombs close to the cities. And more of the middle class are dying. Deep in tax debt.
Left with no money for a proper burial, these families are surrendering their beloveds to paupers' graves.
We're here to provide an affordable solution. Even if it's far away, it's better than a pit entwined with other disintegrating bones.
What's to stop me and my sons from carving the tombs?
Why haven't you? Do you have the tools? The expertise? Capital for hiring laborers and dozens of stonecutters?
$50.
47. Final offer.
49. Suppose you find copper and lead when you...
I said 47. You can contact me tomorrow when you change your mind.
Wait. He has a point. Land could be worth more if there's something underneath, like he says. Copper or salt. He's not wrong.
Our business has a reputation of doing things the right way. I'd be willing to part with a few more talents on the off chance there is something valuable under all this rock.
This is all the promised land. No matter how it looks to you.
49. More than 10 years' wages, Hushan. Let's draw up the covenant. What's wrong?
That word, covenant. I was thinking about the promise made to Abraham. And all the other promises.
And you can talk to your rabbi about that. For now, let us close the covenants and toast a fair deal for everyone.
Get the reason for that, but you'll explain it to me. You'll make sense of it shortly.
That is the intro of Judas Iscariot, and I guess it's showing him this someone trying to sell his land, his inheritance, I guess, from someone from the tribe of Reuben, and they're doing it, they're real estate investors or something. They're
right.
Trying to build tombs for the middle class, or at least that's
mm-hmm.
the story they're giving him, and
right.
to get his land at a good price. And I think the smaller guy there is actually Judas Iscariot. So at
okay.
some point he's gonna meet up with the disciples in this episode.
All right, so finally we get to look at Judas. well, you know, the thing is, the Pope got it right when he said that Dallas was Judas. So
yes,
I don't understand why. I don't understand why Dallas doesn't have sandals on and is playing the role, because the Pope, the Pope pegged him.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. Okay. Here it is.
You're going to wake the whole camp with your chopping.
Put the shirt on before the women get up.
Oh, they're already up. I heard them studying in their tents.
Why do the women feel so strongly about studying? Isn't it enough to just listen to our rabbi?
When would they do that? He's never here.
You know your obsession with exercise? It smacks of Hellenism.
I'm just trying to stay ready. What if...
So that's it. The women like to study. They don't.
Yeah.
It's amazing. Jesus is never there. Wow.
They're
still
bickering amongst one another, and the men
yeah.
are just like over it right now.
Sure.
And the females
sure.
are the only dedicated ones.
Right. Okay.
The Romans changed their mind and do what they did to your old rabbi.
Can you please not bring that up?
The mind and the spirit are more important than the body.
How can you have a healthy mind if you don't have a healthy body?
I'm talking about emphasizing one over the other.
Try eating a whole bush of poisonous berries and then tell me how your mind is doing.
What's with the chopping? Oh, did we interfere with sleeping in?
Your cells are still full, I see.
Breakfast, boys.
Blessed are you, Lord our God, ruler of the universe.
We have plenty of wood, guys.
The stack for the next travelers.
Tonight is going to be our last night here.
It is?
Yes. Rabbi told me last night.
He told everyone.
Where's Matthew?
He went away early this morning with Rabbi.
Why does he always take Matthew?
And since when did you start caring about Matthew's whereabouts?
Big Thunder just said the same thing.
He didn't ask about everyone else.
Did you sleep okay?
It was like this when I woke up.
Jesus sent little James, Thaddeus, and Nathaniel ahead to find a location for the sermon.
All right. Do we all know what we're supposed to do?
I don't know, Simon. Maybe listen.
Keep talking to me like that.
I know we need security on all four points of the compass.
We know how to execute that, Z.
The crowd is going to be bigger this time, the way the word is spreading.
What do we do with hecklers?
The odd Pharisee used to come to these things. They used to be all over John's sermons.
John would heckle them.
I just said used to.
Jesus can handle Pharisees. We need to get this right, huh? No mistakes.
My shame was not hiding,
hidden
from you when I was being made. When I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my form, not
my unformed substance.
How do you have this memorized?
I've been memorizing the rest of that Song of David. I need more words, more tools. I can't let it happen again.
Mary, you've got to stop dwelling on
your eyes on my unformed substance.
Saw my unformed substance. In your book were written every one of them. The days that were formed for me. My shame was not hiding. You and Mary have been so good to me.
Of course. We're happy you're here.
Do we all have to learn to read?
No. Mary's father taught her long ago, and Raymond just wanted to learn. I think they felt left out. Maybe you being here will take the pressure off.
Well, I'm willing to learn if that's what it takes.
Shalom. I come bearing apricots.
Ah, it's a good day today.
Shalom, Thomas.
Ah, these are a delight.
Shalom.
Shalom. Having mine under the tent.
Is Rema coming out?
No, I don't think so. She's pretty intent on studying.
Oh.
And Mary is writing leaflet notices and invitations and sometimes crying.
She went through something bad. I think she needs time.
And what about them?
In the most generous explanation, I'd call that love.
That does not look like love to me.
They all love our rabbi and want to follow him the right way. They just can't agree on what that right way is.
Thank you. I will take these to Rema and Mary.
Oh, and tell Rema Philip found apples. But I wanted to bring her apricots. Because I know they're her favorite.
I will pass that along.
Wow. What can we say about these minutes that we just finished watching here? What are we in junior high? Sending little notes to one another?
Yeah. I'm thinking, I don't know, another female on the scene. It might be some intrigue.
Yeah.
With Thomas and Rhema, and then now this lady, it's like, I don't know, I saw some looks there.
Right. Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you know, Jesus is not running a junior high school or a high school.
Right.
You know? So,
well, he's gone somewhere again with Matthew, and the other guys are like, well, what's up with Matthew? So there's that.
Right.
There's different. It's like the group is dividing into these cliques, and it's contentious. It's not, you know, like how Jesus chose Peter, James, and John out of the clique, out of the group. It's like they're tearing apart rather than something
Correct.
That Jesus organized. I guess that's how what I'm trying to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, of course, Mary Magdalene is still being haunted by her demons, if we can use that phraseology.
Yeah, or afraid she's going to fall back again. So she's, I got to study extra hard. I got to do this and do that. Rather
right.
than receiving the forgiveness of the Lord, she's still feeling some guilt there.
Yep. And here again, it's, you know, trying to earn your salvation or trying to keep yourself rather than letting the grace of God keep you.
Right. Yeah.
Okay, let's see what else happens here.
It was perfection. You played your part so well. My look of annoyance was the best I've ever given. Sophocles, Euripides, Aeschylus, they would kill for our acting skills.
Certainly it was a kind of tragedy.
For him, for us, it was a triumph. And all tragedies have winners and losers.
He was the one who brought up potential minerals.
Yes, and then you acknowledged the possibility of salt and not giving anything away. I considered the value, and we came off looking like good guys. We bought a salt mine for the price of a country plot.
Did you see his tears?
That's common. People have emotional ties to the land.
And then what? Do we grow calluses on our eyes?
They lighten up. We just made the best sale of our lives.
He did make a tidy profit on land he didn't know would ever be valuable.
He'll never have to work another day in his life. You know, when I brought you on as my apprentice, they neglected to tell me that you did not have a sense of humor.
I do have a sense of humor.
You were about to become a very wealthy man. Once our miners find the salt, we're going to live like kings.
Kings of what? There is only one true king in heaven, and everyone else, even Caesar, is enjoying illusions of power and wealth. Sooner or later, we all become dust.
There's that sense of humor. Hey, I'm not oblivious, okay? I know that's right. But we have so few opportunities to get ahead in this world.
Opportunity? It was a calculated deception. And it didn't feel good.
We used what God gave us, and now we'll have greater choices. We'll live better lives. More devotion. Finish your drink.
Man was formed from earth. And eventually he returns to it. The time in between. There has to be more to life than that.
An orphan and a poet.
I told you not to call me that.
Hey. Okay, I'm sorry. It's been a long week. Let's take some time off to rest.
What I need is a life I could be proud of. Don't you want to do something that will really matter? That will be remembered throughout history?
I appreciate your ambition, I really do. And I see potential in you, I see it every day. Here's an advance. Let's take weeks off. Rest, go for walks, do something new. Hmm?
Really?
Why not? You're the one who said there's more to life than making money.
Thank you. I don't know what to say.
Finish your drink.
I think the northeast of the Nahalka River looks promising.
I didn't know him. He won't be high enough for people to see and hear him.
Yes, and the three, so the south obstruct the view of the Sea of Galilee, which he specifically requested.
Why does he need a view of the sea? I think he wanted to be high enough up.
Ah, what about the hills north of Chorazin? Huh? There's 20 of height, his voice would carry.
Too steep of a climb. And the distance is too far for the people from Tiberias and Magdala.
Yeah.
He said he wanted to keep within a day's walk from those cities.
Maybe we're just looking too far north.
What did he request? Grove of juniper or gum trees on the backside where we could camp the night before?
Yeah. It's like he already knows the place, hmm?
Yeah. Just have to find it. No trespassing. Violators will be prosecuted.
Shalom! Shalom! Hope we mean no harm, sister. We're here on friendly business. Behind where you are. Is that a good view of the Sea of Galilee?
Go away!
That's not very friendly.
Excuse me. Are you the owner?
Close, you get attacked.
It's very important that we speak to him.
This is probably the spot.
What? Why? It's completely repellent.
Exactly.
That's it. Then it's your whole story?
Everything we know for certain established as fact by eyewitnesses in accordance with the law.
So break this down for us here.
Well, it's looking like...
This is like a convoluted one scene after the other.
Yeah. And it's all completely different things, but one thing that we heard was it looks like Judas Iscariot was feeling guilty about swindling the guy out of his land. You know, I admit, yeah, they paid him, but it wasn't what he could have gotten because they knew there was minerals there, apparently. So he's soul-searching about what he just did. And then it's got showing a few of the disciples, I guess, little James, Thaddeus, and Nathaniel. Well, no, the same guy. I forget who the other one is. And they're looking for a place to have this Sermon on the Mount because this is what they're preparing for, to find a spot. But I wrote down that the scripture doesn't show this much advanced planning and advertising because the word had spread about Jesus, and it looks like where he just happened to be at that time, there was great crowds following him, and then he sat down and taught and just rolled right into the Sermon on the Mount. Dallas is making it look like how modern contemporary event, quote-unquote evangelists and preachers do it. They send an advance team to advertise and secure a spot wherever they're going to be at and all this kind of stuff, but that just didn't happen in the scriptures.
Well, this is not the Billy Graham Association where,
right.
You know, like you said, they send in a team in advance of a year to look for a location,
mm-hmm.
You know, make a deal, sign the contract for a stadium, you know, and then start advertising and letting the people. No. This is not, you know, again, like you said, Jesus is out ministering, and right then and there, the Sermon on the Mount. No rehearsal,
mm-hmm.
No draft, you know, he just preached it, and that was that. All this other baloney about him preparing and we got this big event coming, all of that is just plain nonsense.
Right.
That's just, you know.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, like you said, this is a 21st century concept that he's trying to make fit in the first century and in the ministry of Jesus. And we know
that's just
not the way it happened. Right.
You know, word would spread, but it was just a natural thing. It wasn't the disciples purposely trying to make it happen or spread the word. When Jesus would do miracles or and heal people and minister, word would just spread word of mouth. But
Correct. It's
not like it was, you know, he didn't have an advanced marketing team or something putting the word out for him.
Right. But, here's the other thing. On the one hand, he makes them look like buffoons. They don't know what Jesus is doing. They don't know where Jesus is. They don't know what the plan is. They don't know why they're there. And then on the other hand, they're part of his advance team. Well, which one is it?
Right.
Which one is it? Either they know what he's doing or either they don't know what he's doing. You know? It's the storytelling is just so convoluted. You just don't know.
Switch into these different scenes that aren't really connected all that well, I guess.
Right.
And
the other thing about
go ahead.
Yeah,
sir.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was just going to say we were about to move into another disconnected scene with these Pharisees again, but, you know, what were you going to say, bro?
No, I was going to say that the point that you made about Judas feeling guilty, Judas never felt guilty. He was a thief from the beginning.
Right.
Right.
Jesus himself called Judas a devil.
Right, right. And not a repenting devil. And No. Didn't I choose you 12 and one of you is a devil? Not that he's a repenting devil or he's a sorrowful devil. No, he's a devil. That's
right.
What he is. So this, you know, again, wants you to feel sorry. It's like the Joel Osteen series where they wanted you to feel sorry for Judas. You know, it was Jesus' fault that Judas turned out the way he did.
Yes, that's right. Yep, he
right?
sure did.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same kind of message.
Sympathy for the devil, like that old Rolling Stone song.
right.
That's what Dallas is trying to show here, that, you know, you need, because it's like at the end, after Judas betrayed Jesus, it appears that he felt bad and tried to give the money back and stuff. So maybe Dallas is using that to try to establish that as a pattern of behavior. He always felt bad, felt sorry or guilty when he did something sinful or wrong.
Well, we know what the Bible says about him. So,
that's right.
All right, let's see what these Pharisees are up to now. Let's see what these guys are all about.
Mm-hmm.
I know we can't prove it's the same person, but the pattern's too striking to ignore.
It doesn't need to be the same person. That's what's wonderful. I will have Shimon dragged for this.
To be fair, it was the secretary who called the charges minutia, not Shimon himself.
Secretaries don't put words in the rabbi's mouth. It's the other way around. Minutia. My congregation and students will foam at the mouth when they hear this. Make a written record of your conversation with Shimon's secretary, every word, and file it with the clerk of the special counsel for false prophecies at the archive. It must be signed and dated by a ranking Levite. Do you understand my instructions?
Yes, but why all the exactitude?
Because when this Jesus of Nazareth amasses enough followers and enough detractors, it will get Rome's attention, and then everyone will know.
Know what, Rabbi?
That Shimon was well aware of these offenses and dismissed them. His obsession with reforming God's immutable law will be exposed for the negligent, lazy, dangerous abomination it is.
Not just Shimon. We opened a case with the Sanhedrin, and Nicodemus dismissed it as immaterial.
Nicodemus, I've long suspected the lamps were going dim in that house, if you get my meaning.
Well, I don't know about that.
Spread the word. Tell every scribe, Pharisee, Sadducee, Essen, priest, teacher, and Levite you know.
Why, Rabbi?
First, the facts. Self-identifies using a divine title from the prophet Daniel.
Son of man.
Claims authority to forgive sins. Violates Shabbat on multiple occasions. And commands others to do so. Eats with tax collectors and sinners.
Degenerates.
Now, the speculation. Speak it out, I don't have all day.
One of John the Baptizer's students is among his followers, and there are rumors of a second.
Delicious. We'll never be pestered by that freak again.
In Capernaum, there were women of ill repute seen at table with him at the tax collector's house.
You're telling me women are among his followers?
You asked for speculation.
Keep going.
He consorts with Gentiles. specifically the Ethiopian woman who knew his name and his origin.
The last is very vague and small.
Nothing is small when it comes to fidelity to God's law.
The praetor of Capernaum ordered Jesus detained. When I spoke with his office, they made mention of the fourth philosophy.
The zealot?
It was just a passing comment.
He must be out of his mind.
That's all we have.
You must make these confirmed facts and inferences made known far and wide, but never mention that Shimon or Nicodemus dismissed the case. The gullible masses will defer to their supposed wisdom, but then, when we reveal dated documentation showing that Shimon had early warning and did nothing, the house of his wretched grandfather Hillel will fall, and the house of Shammai will rise.
Rabbi Shammai, respectfully, we didn't come here today seeking to influence which schools of thought. We came looking for someone who would care that a false prophet is deceiving our people.
If that was your intent, you have succeeded. Everything you shared with me will make an appearance at my next Shabbat sermon.
All right, so there you go. Again,
more intrigue, but basically a wasted scene.
Right. Because it has nothing to do with the Bible.
And we know that they plotted against Jesus eventually, but, you know, the Bible doesn't go into detail, so I don't see why Dallas is.
Right. See, and then here's the thing. In these episodes, the Pharisees are trying to dig up, or some students are trying to dig up dirt on Jesus. Well,
right.
That's not the way it happened. Jesus was teaching publicly, and that was all the dirt they needed.
Right.
See, here they're digging for stuff. Well, Jesus' teaching was out there in the open, and that's what got them mad, his public teaching.
Right.
And he wasn't hiding anything. You know, he was just out doing – of course, this Jesus – you never see him teaching. You don't see, you know, you don't see his public ministry. He's off somewhere, and nobody knows where.
Right. Then every now and then he shows up in a synagogue or somewhere, or at the pool of Bethesda. But other than that,
right.
Just kind of sneaking around.
Right. And well, you know, this Jesus is very private. And the Jesus of Scripture is just, he's out there. He's just out rubbing everybody the wrong way. And you know, this is another erroneous portrayal of the life and ministry of Christ. You know, and we're just going to have to leave it there. We stopped it at the 21 minute 20 second. Thank you for doing this show today. I was really blessed
by it.
You're
welcome.
And I'm glad we got it in. And again, you know, the whole Chosen series, the more I see it, you know, I just got to put another nail in the coffin. I mean, I don't have another place to put a nail. You know, I put so many nails in the coffin, I just don't have another, I don't have another little space to put another nail in this thing. That's how bad it is.
Agreed.
Great show, and you have the last word.
Well, happy belated birthday to Daniel, and I hope he enjoyed his birth date. And just thank everyone for listening, and we'll see you next time, and have a great rest of your weekend. Bye-bye.